KJAN Sports.
Time for a check of sports. Good morning. I'm Jim Field. In high school sports last night, a girls' high school basketball, a game heard here on KJAN. It was Trainer defeating Atlantic 65-59 in non-conference girls' basketball. It was a one-point game at half with Trainer up 28-27. Trainer had a nice third quarter, though, spurred by Laura Hempel and Madison Paulson. The guards were penetrating, knocking down shots. They helped Trainer build a 50-43 lead after three quarters, and then they held off Atlantic down the stretch after building as much as a 12-point lead. Atlantic able to carve deep into that lead, but Trainer held them off, making just enough free throws to pick up the victory last night. Trainer wins at 65-59. For Trainer, they were led by Kaylee Christensen. She had 19 points on the night. Also, Madison Paulson had 14, and Laura Hempel had 13. Atlantic had four players in double figures, with Aaron Olson leading the way with 19 points. Tiffany Williams and Macy Schmidt each chipped in a dozen, while Catherine Leonard had 11 points. Atlantic 16 of 25 from the free throw line. Trainer also went there a lot. They had 55 free throws in total between the two teams shot last night. Trainer was 17 of 30 from the free throw line, helping them hang on to that lead. Trainer improves to 12-2 with the victory. Atlantic 6-11 with that loss last night. Elsewhere in girls' hoops, it was Adair Casey coming up a winner in Rolling Valley Conference play. They beat Peyton Sherdan 69-54. I-35 defeated Creston in girls' basketball 46-40. In boys' basketball action last night, it was Bedford over Fremont Mills 72-43. North Nottoway, Missouri beat South Page 70-37. Peyton Sherdan downing Adair Casey 71-55. Red Oak defeats Southwest Valley by a final of 60-43. And it was AHSTW over Heartland Christian 68-53. Tonight on KJAN, we have a girl and boy basketball doubleheader for you here on the radio from the Western Iowa Conference. Chris and I will be in Audubon tonight, where the Wheelers will play host to Tri-Center this evening. Girls will get the night started at 6 o'clock. The boys will follow at about 7:30. You can catch both those games live here on AM 1220 and FM 101.1, as well as on the web at KJAN.com. And if you can't make it to the games, you can watch them with us online. Go to the TV page at KJAN.com, where you can watch the live streaming video from the broadcast. Tri-Center at Audubon, live tonight here on KJAN. Well, yesterday, the smallest three classes in girls basketball found out where they're headed for the postseason. The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union announced the girls' regional basketball pairings yesterday late afternoon for classes 1A, 2A, and 3A. Now, some of the local pairings look like this. In class 3A, Region 8, on Saturday, February 14th, Atlantic will visit Kemper Catholic in a first-round matchup. Greene County plays at West Central Valley. Clarinda is at Shenandoah. And Clark plays at Red Oak. That's class 3A, Region 8. In Class 2A action, on Saturday, February 14th, in Region 1, Western Christian received a first-round bye. Akron Westfield will play at Ridgeview. Woodbury Central got a bye, while OABCIG will play at Lawton Bronson. Maple Valley has a first-round bye. They await Missouri Valley at St. Albert's winner. And Hinton has a bye in the first round. Logan Magnolia will host West Monona in a first-round matchup. Also in 2A Region 7 play on Saturday, February 14th, Panorama received a bye. They'll await the winner of Pleasantville at Madrid. Van Meter received a bye. They wait for the winner of Audubon at Woodward Granger. Des Moines Christian received a first-round bye as they'll move into the second round and play the winner of Colfax Mingo at BCLUW. And West Marshall has a first-round bye. They'll play the winner of Collins Maxwell Baxter at Pella Christian. In Class 2A first-round play in Region 8 on Saturday, February 14th, IKM Manning received a first-round bye. Riverside at Underwood will battle to see who gets the Wolves. Trainer gets a first-round bye. They await the winner of AHSTW at Tri-Center. Central Decatur also received a first-round bye. Earlham at Southwest Valley will determine their opponent. And I-35 gets a first-round bye. Clarinda Academy plays at Nottoway Valley with the winner playing the Roadrunners. Also in Class 1A, Region 1. Now these will be on Thursday, February 12th in Region 1 in Class 1A. Kingsley Pearson received a first-round bye. Whiting is at Charter Oak Ute. West Harrison is at Westwood, and Boyer Valley plays at Woodbine. Central Lyon got a first-round bye on the other side of the bracket with Siouxland Christian at Galen Catholic, Remsen St. Mary's at West Sioux, and Trinity Christian at Remsen Union. In Class 2A Region Number 2 on Thursday, February 12th, Exira EHK at the top of the bracket gets a bye. The rest of that bracket has Griswold at Coon Rapids Bayard, Guthrie Center at Glidden-Ralston, and Peyton Sherdan at Cam. Now, the bottom half of that 1A Region 2 bracket, George Little Rock gets a bye. Clay Central Everly is at Harris Lake Park. Storm Lake St. Mary's is at Marcus Meriden Cleghorn. Arweva plays at River Valley. In Class 1A Region 8 on Thursday, February 12th, at the top of the bracket, Fremont Mills received a bye. Heartland Christian is at Sydney. South Page is at Essex. East Mills plays at Nishnabotna. At the bottom half of the bracket, it's Adair Casey receiving a bye in the first round. Lennox plays at Stanton. East Union is at Orient Maxburg, while Ankeny Christian will play at Iowa Christian. Next week, they'll release the 4A and 5A girls tournament pairings. In college men's basketball last night, Iowa State built a 21-point second-half lead. And then they received a scare late, but they held on as Texas staged a furious rally. The 15th-ranked Cyclones, though, able to post an 89-86 victory. The Longhorns connected on 10 of 14 from three-point range in the second half.
Maybe as stressful a game as I've ever been a part of. I mean, it just seemed like that darn thing would never end. But I'll tell you what, guys, I was really, really proud of how our guys came out of the gate in both halves.
That's ISU coach Fred Hoiberg. The Cyclones improved to 5-2 in the Big 12 as they bounced back from a puzzling loss at Texas Tech.
It was just a lot of fun to see the guys out there moving the ball. And I'll tell you what, yesterday, and I give them credit, they got in a room and they talked a lot of things out. We responded with maybe our best practice of the year yesterday. It was intense. There was talking going on. It was competitive. And that certainly carried over to the game tonight.
ISU looked like it was going to cruise to a victory, but then the Longhorns caught fire late.
We were trying to take away some things there down the stretch, and when we tried to take away penetration, they'd hit a three. And when we tried to stay hugged up to their shooters, they'd get in and hit a tough floater. We even went 1-3-1, one possession, and Holmes hits a 25-footer. So, you know, give them credit for continuing to fight all the way to the buzzer, but, you know, I was really pleased overall with tonight's game.
George Niang led Iowa State with 19 points. Bryce DeJean Jones added 18 for the Cyclones in that victory. Number 13, North Carolina, was the only other ranked team in action last night. The Tar Heels picked up their sixth straight win as they improved to 7-1 in the ACC. They shot 55% to beat Syracuse 93-83. Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey hopes that senior forward Aaron White will be available on Saturday when the Hawkeyes host Wisconsin. White suffered a shoulder stinger in Saturday's loss at Purdue and sat out most of the game.
It's going to be painful, and hopefully, you know, it's probably a function of what kind of grade it is. I mean, it looks like it was a pretty good one. He got him pretty good. So he's going to have some discomfort throughout this entire week, maybe even into next week. But the question will be, will he be able to at least play and be, you know, at least close to himself? We'll have to see.
Well, if White can't go on Saturday, McCaffrey will have several different options.
You know, our options are, you know, go small with either Clemens or Oglesby. Go with Dom Ewell. You know, positionally, that makes the most sense in terms of size. Or go big and give more minutes to Gabe and Adam Woodbury together. So, I mean, it's pretty much one of those three options.
It's an injury that's much more common in the sport of football, and the good thing is White will have the entire week to heal before the next game. We'll have Saturday's contest for you live here on KJAN. The Iowa Hawkeye women finally conquered Nebraska. The 20th-ranked Hawks outscored the 16th-ranked Huskers 17-11 in overtime for a 78-72 win, their first victory in that series since Nebraska joined the Big Ten.
It feels great to have that off of our back. You know, that was one thing really weird since coming in the Big Ten. You know, we beat them when they were in the Big 12, but when they came into the Big Ten, we struggled with them. But, you know, they've had great teams, and Connie's a tremendous coach, and so it took a great effort today.
That's Iowa coach Lisa Bluter. Samantha Logic had 22 points. Allie Disterhoff added 20 points and 13 rebounds as the Hawkeyes erased a 10-point second-half deficit to force the overtime. Iowa improves to 7-1 in the Big Ten. They're 16-3 overall on the season. In football news, New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft has made an impassioned defense of his team's actions and integrity regarding the NFL's investigation into underinflated footballs being used in the AFC Championship game. He says the team did nothing in violation of NFL rules, adding that it bothers him that the reputations and integrity of Coach Bill Belichick and quarterback Tom Brady have been called into question. Kraft said he expects an apology from the league once the Patriots are found to be not guilty of breaking any rules. The NFL has said evidence shows the Patriots used underinflated footballs during the first half of the AFC title game victory over Indianapolis. The league is still determining why those balls were underinflated. And the Rams have gone from Cleveland to Los Angeles to St. Louis since joining the NFL in 1937. They could be positioning themselves for a return to the West Coast. The Rams have notified the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission that they intend to shift to a year-to-year lease agreement for their use of the Edward Jones Dome. The move is another step toward the team making a possible move back to the West Coast. Rams billionaire owner Stan Kroenke is part of a joint venture that announced plans earlier this month for an 80,000-seat stadium in the Los Angeles suburbs. Any move would be subject to approval by the NFL and its owners. The NFL has already said no moves would be made in time for next season. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.